Good morning, everyone. We call the Story County Board of County Commissioners meeting to order. If you'll join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic which stands one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, and move right along now to item number three. This is discussion and possible action, approval of the agenda for this date, December the 2nd, 2014. Does anybody have any questions on today's agenda?
Mr. Chairman, staff would like to recommend that we continue item 20, item 26, and item 27. These are either ordinances or applications for zoning, and we would ask that those be continued to the January 26th meeting at the, in the district courtroom here in the Story County Courthouse.
January 6th?
Yes, sir. And then staff received a request from one of the commissioners to call in reverse order numbers 23 and 24.
Okay. Any other discussion on today's agenda? Mr. Phillips? You approach the podium, please identify yourself for the record.
Sure. Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Mark Joseph Phillips, a resident of Virginia City, and today's the 2nd of December, 2014. I'm speaking to item number three, which is discussion before the approval of today's agenda. Mr. Chairman, today's consent agenda is action-packed, and boy, I sure would like to go through them one by one. I certainly have concerns on some of the warrants, item number five. As of yesterday, item number six, November 2014's Treasury Report is not in the package. And you know, I know that happens on months where there's only one meeting. If the Treasury Report's available now, I'd love to have a look at it. Item number seven is confusing. I'm looking at closing schedule for the Type 1 triple combination fire engines and three ambulances. Should that be three Type 1 triple combination fire engines? And shouldn't the amount be of $2 million be included in the agenda just for clarity? And now item number eight is actually a board-approved resolution. I mean, this is a resolution that needs to be discussed and voted on outside the consent agenda. Thank you.
You're welcome. As for item number six, the treasurer's report, it's unavailable at this time. We're going to continue that to the next regular scheduled meeting on January the 6th. Sometimes we just don't have enough time to...
January 6th is the first meeting on Monday by statute.
That is correct.
Okay.
So, thank you, Mark. I would answer that the treasurer and I have already spoke. Since today is only the 2nd, it is not physically possible to produce a report. She intends to have a report done and made available to the commission and the public prior to the end of December for the month of November. It will be mailed to you collectively as a public document, and it will be posted to the website. As far as items 7 and 8 are concerned, these are housekeeping. The board has previously approved both these items. However, to the best of my knowledge, USDA gave us an incorrect form. They have forms for the private sector, and then they have forms for public government entities. This is simply making those corrections, and Mr. Phillips is right.
Mr. Chairman, these are brand new documents that appear to be incomplete, not accurate.
And I believe it was the opinion of counsel that there were no material changes in this. It's definitely the opinion of USDA, and all we're asking is for authorization for you to sign, and it is three structure engines, as the staff report clearly denotes.
Okay, and so then the next regular scheduled meeting will be for January the 5th?
Yes, and I need to
stand
corrected.
So we will make the correction on items 20, 26, and 27, as well as item number 6, the Treasurer's Report. All of those could be heard on the first regular scheduled meeting of next year on January the 5th. As explained by the county manager, this is just housekeeping on these other two items, Mr. Phillips. All of these documents, we've gone over this multiple times, and I thought we were done with it, but we're not. Okay, anyone else have any discussion on today's agenda?
Okay, with that, motion to approve with the changes to today's agenda.
I'll second.
All right. Mr. Osborne, before we have a vote.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Board. I just want to make sure when we're changing the agenda day, the posting for the zone changes is for January 6th in the newspaper. There's some NRS 278 requirements that I'll have to adjust there, but I want to make it very clear, at least on the record here, that we're going to move those items that were continued to January 5 and not January 6 at this location at the courthouse.
Okay. 2 p.m. in the afternoon, so that we have judge availability for oath of office.
So just to be clear, in the meetings, you'll be on January 5th at 2 p.m. here in the courthouse.
Thank you.
Very good. Was there any other discussion on this? Okay, I have a motion and a second on this. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And the motion carries. Moving along now to item number 4, discussion and possible action, the approval of minutes for October the 21st, 2014. Any discussion on the minutes? Hearing none, call for motion.
Second.
Moved and second to approve the minutes of October 21, 2014. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And the motion carries. Thank you.
If I could back up real quick, just to make it clear, as far as the Treasury reports go, the statutes require that they be provided to the County Commission once a month by the clerk. Because we're not having a second meeting, the reason that you all receive a copy of it and that it will be made public is to comply with the statute that requires that it be provided each month. And it's obviously impossible for the clerk to prepare a report in 1 or 3 days. So when we don't have a second meeting in a month, to resolve that problem, I have instructed the clerk to provide each of the commissioners with a copy of the report, which is what the statute requires. It doesn't require that we get a meeting. It just requires it to be provided to each of the commissioners, and in this case, because it's being provided to you, it will be made public at the same time as provided to you.
Thanks for the clarification, Dean Maddox. Moving along now to the consent agenda. Any questions on today's consent agenda? At that time, I look for a motion for approval.
Motion to approve the consent agenda.
Second motion.
We moved and second to approve the consent agenda. That, of course, includes the continuation of the Treasurer's Report, item number 6, item number 20, excuse me, item number 6. That's all. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And the motion carries. Moving along now to the best part of the meeting today. Discussion and possible action, approval of Resolution 14-415, the 2014 Community Service Annual Award. Mr. Gilmore, are you taking lead on this?
I believe so.
I'm sorry.
Patrick, this is your item, I think.
Patrick?
Patrick and Ron.
Ron?
I think it's for Mr. Gallagher.
Come on up and take the podium, Mr. Gallagher.
I wouldn't want to tie.
You don't own a tie.
I'll be a mess.
Normally, Denny Dotson would be here as director of the VCTC. First of all, thank you, and distinguished folks inside the rail and all you distinguished folks outside the rail. This is a delightful opportunity for me to, well, ramble a little bit, but I see you shut the clock off. That's good. Thank you. We will not belabor this. If this were later in the afternoon, I could drag it out because I might have a little Irish tea. But this morning, I won't burden you with a lot of conversation. I will note that I am on the VCTC, and I'm representing Denny Dotson. But in the interest of full disclosure and transparency, because I know that's important in this room, I have known the gentleman that is receiving this award for over 50 years. I remember when he drove a green Ford up Taylor Street and kept all the neighbors awake. If any of you would like stories, I can tell you after the meeting about the recipient. I am also a relative of his. And for those of you that have been around Virginia City for a while, you know that those of us that have many years in our pocket, we're practically related to everybody else that's been around here. So he is my cousin-in-law. So with that, Mr. Petrini, don't get used to the mister. Mr. Petrini, would you and your lovely Irish bride please come up through the rail? Come on over here. Get over here, Mr. Petrini. It's my pleasure to do a couple of things today. One is to present the resolution on behalf of the Distinguished Board of County Commissioners, and also a token from the VCTC. For those of you that this is Businessman of the Year type of award, but just very briefly, because as I said, I've known Mr. Petrini for well over a half a century. In fact, I've known his lovely wife a lot longer than that. I won't say how long. Slightly over half a century. This is a recognition, I guess, formally of Angelo's endeavors over the last year. But if you've been around as long as I have, I remember when the Bonanza Club was a service station. Most of you don't remember that. A few do. The Sawdust Corner was the Sawdust Corner. It was a little narrow bar that is now part of the Sawdust Corner restaurant, but it was a separate entity. And by the way, it did have sawdust on the floor and spittoons. There was another little, when you look at the Delta today, of course, you see this expansive piece of property. But back in the day, there was another little building that was a restaurant run by the Bogles. And then there was a very famous restaurant next to what was then the narrow Delta Bar. And it was called Four Day Jacks. Aren't many that remember Four Day Jacks. He got that name because every meal was good. You just didn't know how long it had been in preparation. And so 4 days, 5 days, but they coined it Four Day Jacks. And Mr. Petrini has expanded all of that property, of course, over the years, and been a marvelous asset to the Comstock, in my opinion. And, you know, he was a politician at one time, a long time ago, state legislature. I never understood why he did that. I can understand the school board being involved with it, but the state legislature. It was fun, wasn't it, Joan?
Yeah,
a lot of fun. Anyway, he has been a pillar of the community and has been part of making Virginia City not just kind of a little tourist attraction, but really an attraction known throughout the country and quite literally throughout the world. So, I'm going to read this, I hope. This is
all good.
Except for what I ad-lib.
Like I say, the stories could flow this afternoon, the real stories. In addition to the car, there are some other, the muffler bothering the people on Taylor Street. That was before he was a very successful businessman. This is a resolution honoring Angelo Petrini and Delta Saloon as the 2014 Story County Community Services Award winner. Whereas this award will be presented to a business or organization that has shown significant contributions to Virginia City and the residents of Story County. Whereas Angelo Petrini and Delta Saloon has shown a lifetime of extraordinary entrepreneurship, market innovation, strong community relations, and major contributions towards building tourism and the overall economic health of Virginia City and Story County. There's not a business in town that hasn't benefited. Therefore, let it be known to all present that the Board of County Commissioners of Story County do hereby resolve to commend and honor Angelo Petrini and the Delta Saloon for the continued and exemplary service to the people of Story County. Passed and adopted this second day of December 2014 by a unanimous vote. So, Mr. Petrini, I think, it's holding this. I wondered maybe if resources were low and they needed that rubber band, but I can see what it's there for. Congratulations on behalf of the Story County Commissioners. And over here, hopefully over here, from the VCTC, this is also a resolution that's saying the same thing, that you are a delightful businessman, a marvelous success, and one that we're all proud to have in the community. I'll give this to you.
Thank you very much. I was told today that I got a call from the county manager, and I was told to be here today because there was an understanding that Marshall McBride resigned and I was going to take his position. But anyway, I think my cousin here went a little bit overboard, but nevertheless, I want to thank you and everyone else involved, and it's really an honor, kind of bittersweet, been in business for 55 years, and my phone doesn't ring very much now. But anyway, it's been a great enjoyment to me that I married a native girl here, Joan Gallagher. The Gallagher family, long known in the community, and I have two wonderful daughters, Julie and Joanne, there. Stand up, let them see you. Also, I got my nephew, I see in the audience there, former County Commissioner Greg Hess, and another former County Commissioner, his father, Gregory Hess. So I got a lot of support and appreciate that, and I have had a lot of wonderful times here in Virginia City, and it'll be a lot of wonderful memories, and I always enjoyed working with the people of this community and the small town effect that we have and that we want to keep, I'm sure, and I'm going to live here. I'm not going to move off the mountain because this is my home. Thank you very much. Thank you, John.
You never answer your phone again.
You ready to take, your seat?
Right.
Thank you.
Nope, you're fine.
Thank you, Angelo. Thank you, Mr. Gallagher. Okay, at this time, we're going to move along now to item number 12. This is discussion of possible action, second reading of ordinance number 14-260, an ordinance adding chapter 3.50 to the Story County Code, creating the Story County Economic Diversification District number 1, and providing for other properly related matters.
We didn't script this. This is the Tesla ordinance. This is a second reading. There have been no changes between the first reading and introduction and now. And I remind the board that this ordinance has a provision in there that it is not effective until Tesla and the county have successfully negotiated and approved two provisions that are in Senate Bill 1 of the special session. One of those deals with potential reductions in permitting and licensing fees, and the other deals with cost offset subsidies. And there have been dialogues with their legal staff and ours and myself as recently as last Wednesday. And staff would recommend approval.
Okay. This is required under SB 1, was it not?
It's optional for us to do this, but if we're going to do Tesla, this needs to happen. So.
It's appropriate to vote for it before we have an agreement with Tesla?
I would defer to legal counsel, but again, I think that provision that was put in there that it's not effective, I believe we're all comfortable with that.
Yeah, it doesn't become effective until we reach the agreement.
So the attorney could probably go ahead and publish it. It's just not effective until the board has taken action on the agreement that's required.
Okay. Anybody else have any discussion on this matter? Ms. Dean?
Thank you, Kay Dean, Virginia City Highlands. I missed the last commission meeting, but from what I understand, from what I've heard about it, it was stated that all this property in this district is that we're creating is owned by Tesla. Is that not true?
We have verified this with our GIS work group, and this is the approximate 980 acres that Tesla acquired from the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center, yes.
But there's more, there's multiple tracks. There's the main track, the wind farm track, there's more than 1,000 acres there.
Our GIS group would beg to differ. This was verified out at 980 plus or minus acres.
Well, I'm looking at the actual action agenda report, and it breaks it out into the main track, the view shack, the development track, and the wind farm track. From the last meeting, I actually did try to trace the ownership in and had pretty much success with all of the first three. When I got to the wind farm track, these legal descriptions were not anything that I could access through our computer system at Story County. They're just described as parcels and sections. And based on these sections, they appear to be mostly in the southern part of Story County and not at all at any of these for the wind farm track located in TRI. So could you explain why these are being included in a TRI development district and who actually owns this land?
I can't. I'm at a loss. I don't know if, Austin, if you want to chime in on what Lindy did or if you're in a position to be able to do that.
I can tell you that there are very many parcels, and it includes a view shed in these areas that were part of that original Tesla maps, and as I understand would be what you're talking about here.
Well, what track is this? It's just, there's no way to look it up in the computer system. Mm-hmm.
You can track those maps. You can use a, you know, and this is one of these things when questions come up like this. I've had people come to our staff and myself for these types of matters, and such as something like this, you can get a USGS quadrangle map out, and you can track those townships and ranges and sections and portions of sections fairly easily that can be done. I can't do that right here at the podium, but that is something if somebody were to come to my office before a meeting or something and ask to take a look at some these types of descriptions, we're able to help people at that sort of matters.
Okay, I actually have copies here, and the development district that you guys are referring to is owned by TRI, not Tesla. The viewshed tract is owned by TRI, not Tesla. It's the main development tract, and all those properties do appear to be owned by Tesla. So of the four tracts that are listed, or the four different sections that are listed, two of the four that I've been able to track ownership are not owned by Tesla. They're owned by TRI. And the paper does not back up what you are telling me. And so I'm confused and concerned as a resident. I don't understand what's happening, and I'm not sure you guys do if you think this land is owned by Tesla.
The parcels, I'll answer for you. The parcels are owned by TRI. The parcels are under option, and that's the view shed and the wind property.
And what about
there's
the
a one-year option and a two-year option on the properties. Therefore, they're not a part of the original purchase 988.
And what about the development tract that's also owned by TRI?
The development tract?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure what you mean by the development tract.
There's four tracts shown on the agenda item from the last meeting. The first one was the main, second was view, three is development, and four is wind. Right off your county commissioner documents.
I understand.
And it's three different parcels. A little under 100 acres, it appears to me off the top of my head, but it is most of it on Portofino Avenue. And it is owned by TRI, according to the county records.
Well, that's true, it is.
Okay, you just told me
the view shed and the wind parcel are owned by TRI.
Okay, but this is not the view shed. This is the development tracts, the three parcels there also. You said that the view shed and the wind farm is owned by TRI, and I'm trying to find out who the development tract is owned by.
The development tract is the 980 acres that they purchased.
No, that's not correct.
There is
that's
no
considered
property included with TRI.
Can I show you this document?
Share it with Austin, please.
See, it says development track. The main track is all owned by TRI, but I'll track this.
I get bounced from going through all the maps for this project when this was initially going through and tracking all these maps. When you talk about 1,100 acres, give or take, right around there, that includes all the land that we had reviewed as part of the Tesla project, and that would be what's being described.
You're saying 1,100 acres in
approximately.
It encompasses the wind farm, too?
It would encompass the lands that I remember did come out to about that acreage, and that includes all the land in and around Tesla, as well as land along Portofino, which is now Electric Avenue, and in and around that area, including, for example, Viewshed, and where the project's actually going to be constructed. And it appears to be consistent to me.
Well, the view shack, according to the county records, has 1,864 acres in that one tract itself.
That was one of the largest.
Well, but that, how could you have only 1,100 acres in a part of an area where you already used 1,846 of them? That's more acres than what you're talking about. So it just doesn't make any logical sense to me. You're talking about 1,100 acres, and there's a parcel that's over that. I don't think you guys, if I need, I will come to your office tomorrow because, or based on the weather, I'd like to see what these parcels are, but I don't believe any reasonable person can look at this and ascertain where these properties are. And my second point is, this is wind farm district is not in TRI. It's in the south part of Story County. If you're going to create a development district, why not have a special development district strictly for the southern wind farm? Because if you start mixing this in with TRI view sheds and developments, I do believe you're going to have an accounting nightmare on your hands trying to
keep
track.
Did I understand you to say that the wind farm is not within the TRI boundaries?
It is correct. Not that I can see.
Well, it's in TRI. It's in the Azamara Ranch. It's a part of the 104,000 acres that we own under development.
So your property goes all the way south to Lyon County?
It does.
Yes, ma'am, it does.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But, like I said, I can't tell because there's no parcel numbers, there was no way to access it, and there's no way for me to ascertain how many acres are in this wind farm.
7,000.
7,000?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So are you guys going to, are you going to continue on without having clear definitions here? You've had conflicting reports of this is owned by Tesla. Now you're saying it's not. Are you guys going to do some more work on this?
It's under contract with Tesla with option, but they haven't closed the options.
This is the description that was given to me by Tesla, confirmed by the county assessor. She worked with them and giving us this new description of the economic.
For which tract?
All of it.
All of them?
All of it, yes.
Okay. So are you not, you're going to leave this as it is, you're not going to clarify who owns what, and you're going to leave the wind?
It's the economic diversification district is what it is, and it doesn't have to be owned by just one person.
Then why did
we set it up and legally define the area in which it operates? So it doesn't say anything about us discerning who owns the land.
Then why was that brought up at the last commission meeting and pointed out and inaccurately who did own the land? Okay. So for the record, you guys will confirm that Tesla does not own most of the land that you are putting in this new tract development district. Is that correct?
That's correct for my chair, yes. Correct.
Okay, so this is primarily TRI land, the majority of it. But
it's all in the TRI.
Well, no, some of it's owned by Tesla.
Yeah, but still Tesla is in the TRI.
Well, yeah, but the ownership
is all. It's all in the industrial park.
Okay, I didn't realize the industrial parks went all the way south to Lyon County because that's where the wind farm starts. Okay, my mistake, and I will educate myself.
It's 166 square mile piece of property.
Okay.
Covers 104,000 acres. It's about 60% of Story County.
Okay. I will look at a TRI right now. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Bard?
Nicole Bard, Story County resident. Well, to clear up the record, I asked Pat directly at the last meeting because I also had concerns about having this many parcels listed. And looking at SB1, it's specifically about Tesla and the ecosystem of companies to support Tesla. And I was told that's what this was. Today, that story changes. And I had asked him, who owns this land? And I asked him twice, and the answer was, Tesla owns this land. Fine. So now we hear that Tesla owns land directly and that we've got other land in here, a great deal of it, that is not owned by Tesla. Just to make that clear. I also asked at the last meeting, according to the way that the resolution is written, I could open a nail salon and get tax abatements, because there's nothing in the resolution that talks about what a company, what criteria, what requirements, what standards a company has to meet in order to qualify for the benefits of being in the economic development zone.
That's not true.
Where is it in?
One sets out the requirements, and before we can allow someone to get tax abatements, they have to be approved by the state. And then that approval is forwarded to us.
Is that in the resolution?
No, it isn't, but it is in SB1. So if you read SB1, you'll see the qualifications for getting the tax relief.
Okay, and I asked last time, why is this resolution missing any reference to SB1 anywhere in it? Because as written, stand alone. There is no standard, there is no reference, no mention of SB1 whatsoever. And so as a standalone resolution, I, Nicole Bard, as a resident, can go into that area, buy an acre, open up a nail salon, or whatever it is that I want to open up, a casino, a bar, a restaurant, a hotel, and qualify.
So, Nicole, you'd have to invest $3.5 billion within 30 months. You'd have to employ over 6,500 people in your nail salon.
That's
and you would have to have approval by state go-ahead before you could enter the district. But the county has to approve the district per SB 1, per the state regulations. So that's what we're doing here.
My understanding of SB 1 is that, and I'm clearly going to be wrong here, but is that that's the totality of the district. Because when Panasonic, are you telling me that if and when Panasonic moves in to support Tesla, it will be investing $3.5 billion and employing 6,000? Because those are the numbers from Tesla.
It's part of the Tesla transaction family.
Say that again.
It's part of the Tesla transaction family. There'll be 14 Asian companies,
okay,
all part and parcel.
Okay. So I could be one nail salon that supports the women in Tesla and still be here under the $3.5 billion and the $6,000 because it's for the region. It's not for any company and every company that moves in. All I'm saying is that the resolution has nothing in it stipulating that in order to qualify for the Story County resolution, a company must qualify per SB 1. That's what I said last time. That's all I'm asking this time. There's nothing in the resolution that connects back to SB 1. So I can open the mail.
Look at number 1, section 3.5.0.02.
The first economic
diversification act, which is SB 1, special section, for that of 2014. So it's in there? And then throughout this ordinance, it refers to the Economic Diversification Act, which is
SB1.
So there's definitely reference to SB1.
As far as who qualifies for it. Okay, just...
And as I recall from bill language, the bill language was very specific. There is a lead partner, in this case it would be Tesla, and then there are the other partnerships, such as Panasonic and the other firms that Commissioner Gilman has suggested. So I guess the answer would be, if you qualified as a partner to Tesla standards and built your nail salon, you know, then, yeah, you'd probably be subject to the same abatements, or actually Tesla would.
Okay, so Tesla would declare me a partner, and...
But you'd have to be ratified by state government as a part of that.
Okay, then that's...
That's the control.
The county isn't the one that qualifies the partner. It's a state.
So I would apply to the state. They would approve. They would vet me and approve me, and then I would get the abatement from the county. Okay.
And you have a $3.5 billion
individually. In other words, you could come individually.
I would have to invest $3.5 billion over 10 years as a nail salon.
It's a little complicated, but any business in this room could come to the development district, and as long as they met the criteria of SB 1, that's approval by GOED, the governor's office, and then invest the money, $3.5 billion, and generate 6,500 employees, among other things. There are other conditions to the approval. So any business could generally approach us with that same investment.
That would have to employ 6,000. That would have to employ 6,000 per business, right?
Plus more than 6,000.
Okay.
Other criteria, like you've got to pay a minimum of $25 an hour to your people. You have to have Cadillac insurance for all your people. 50% of your people have to be Nevada residents. I mean, it goes on and on and on.
Thank you.
Any other discussion on this? Hearing none, I'll call for a motion.
Okay. Motion then to approve the second reading of Ordinance 14260, adding Chapter 3.50 to the Story County Code, creating the Story County Economic Diversification District Number 1, and providing for other properly related matters.
And I'll second your motion.
Moved and seconded to approve Ordinance 14-260, adding Chapter 3.50 to the Story County Code. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And the motion carries. Moving along now to item number 13. This is discussion only. We won't take any action or public comment. This is our committee and staff reports. We'll get into the audience here. Sherry, would you like to start us off? West Devon Community Services.
Good morning, Sherry Nevin for the record. Just wanted to mention a few things to you guys this morning. The community health nurse is busy getting set up at the health center. As I mentioned last time, we're working with UNR to get some interns coming in to do some development on a records management system. Open house is tentatively scheduled for January 21st, 2015. Also, I made mention at the last couple of meetings about the Navy personnel coming into our county. They were here on November 15th, and we had about 30, just under 30 people. We had probably close to 20 at the Mark Twain Community Center. They painted the meeting room, they painted the computer room, they painted a bathroom, installed some shelving, built horseshoe pits. The community was ecstatic. It was a great day. We had about 15 here in Virginia City at the Fire Museum. They painted the downstairs basement, helped them move a lot of very heavy equipment from the walls, and they're ecstatic as well. So we are going to send them all a certificate of appreciation, and we really, I told them we'd love to have them back. So hopefully when they get another unit, they'll come out and see us again. Also, Community Chest is starting their holiday angel tree again this year, and you're going to see trees throughout the community. So if you're able to give to those less fortunate, we really appreciate that. I also attended the NACO convention 2 weeks ago. It was a great learning opportunity for me, attending some of the certified public official courses, and I'm thankful for that opportunity to be there. And that is all I have today. If anyone has anything for me.
Sure. Great. Thank you, Sherry. Mr. Osborne.
Thank you, Commissioners. Mr. Chairman, just a couple things. Starting off with down at the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, I've given you updates here and there on economic development or workforce and food truck and other types of ancillary development for that. We have Montana Steakhouses coming down from Idaho, and they're going to provide kitchen and food services down at the Tesla site for the multitudes of workers that are in and out of that facility. They're going to have basically an 18-wheeler set up with a full kitchen and really a full-service restaurant and be out there on a semi-permanent basis up to 6 months or so. And I've been coordinating them with the Nevada Health Division, and they're getting set up with them, and Yates Construction out there has accepted them. At the same time, we've made a pledge to not create unfair competition to our existing businesses out there, particularly our restaurants. And so Philly's, who is out there as a permanent restaurant, is also working with us to get a food truck service out at the Yates site where Tesla is, as well as potentially other very far away places in the industrial park over by Wild Horse Drive and the Zulily site, to potentially provide food services out there for employees that don't have enough time during their lunch breaks to go all the way down to the entrance to try to eat. And so we welcome other vendors as well, and definitely encourage existing Story County food businesses to provide those kinds of services. So far, looking pretty good. I want to let this board know that I'll be authorizing a small operations mine to occur in just near Silver City by Art Wilson, and he wants to do a very small underground operation in existing mines, particularly the Ida Consolidated in that area. And Art Wilson will be giving a presentation to the Silver City Town Advisory Board tonight at 7 o'clock. I'll be attending that and just kind of listening and learning more than anything else. And I'll get Art Wilson. His small operations permit will contain conditions similar to a special use to make sure that he complies with NDEP or BLM requirements and that he meets all of our local ordinances with regard to mining. I'm still working with DESE on getting an intern from the University of Nevada, Reno. That would be from their planning or geography department or something similar. And that person's job will primarily be to work with data mining and other sorts of activities related to getting the master plan completed. I do anticipate the master plan process to be completed around July or August of 2015. For the public's interest, because I am getting questions, the master plan public process will be ramping up again as soon as plausible. We have a little bit of influx of activity at the moment, so there's been some dormancy in master plan activity. But I do want the public and the media to know that that is still on the plate, and we'll be kicking that up as much as possible here in the near future. And then last but not least, every year except last year, we've done a comprehensive weed abatement program down in 6-7 Mile Canyons and Gold Canyon, basically all of this portion of the Carson River watershed.
I work with the Carson Trucking Conservancy District, Carson Water Subconservancy District, and Dayton Valley Conservation District really carries most of the load on that, on getting that completed. Last year, a lot of funding had dried up that we relied on, and we weren't able to do the sprays, and resultantly the white top and some of the other invasive species are starting to come back. I will be approaching all potential funding sources for approximately $24,000 that's needed for us to interlocal with Dayton Valley Conservation District, for us to use their resources, i.e. either crews or trucks or equipment, to go and do that program once again this year, starting probably April and May in that area. So I want to let you know that's back on board, and hope for the best on it. Thank you.
Thank you, Austin.
Public Works Director, Mr. Nevin.
Good morning, Commissioners, members of the audience. For the record, Mike Nevin, Public Works Director. Just a brief update on a few of the major projects that we've got going around the county here. To start with, I'd like to mention that we participated with NDOT in a little planning workshop. It's normally done annually. This year, we decided to do a field site visit to a couple of areas. And in particular, we've been discussing with NDOT the possibility of doing some rehab work on Exit 22, which is the Lockwood interchange there, off of Interstate 80. They did, in fact, put that as a high priority in the next year's work program to mill and grind that interchange, repave, restripe, and repair guardrail that's in disrepair there at the interchange. They will eventually replace the Jersey Wall K-rail with a permanent type of Jersey Wall pour in those areas where there are the temporary K-rails along that route. So that was some good news. The other thing that we looked at here in town was, of course, the curb and gutter situation. This is something that's been ongoing as well. We had a different take on it this year. Some new folks that participated from the NDOT group, and they share concerns that we have as well. So with any luck there, we'll see maybe some movement, at least in repairing some of those bad sections along the C Street corridor here in town this next year as well. The other thing, we did get a chance to show them our little pilot project as far as our pavers of the sidewalk down there, specifically in front of the Fireman's Museum. They liked what they saw, and there's an opportunity, hopefully, to maybe gain a little grant assistance through a transportation assistance program that MDOT sponsors, so we'll be looking forward to getting some paperwork from them so we can make proper application, and it'll be, you know, a shared type of a grant where they would fund some money and we would provide some equipment and labor. So just got that on the front burner. So and they encourage, you know, us to come up and discuss with them anything that we see, you know, along their routes that would be a benefit down the road and help with the overall traffic flow and specifically safety concerns. Speaking of NDOT, I will make mention that the USA Parkway maintenance is in the process of transitioning to NDOT in its entirety. That includes the 6 miles that exist of the paved section. We had a meeting with the deputy director, an assistant director in charge of maintenance, and the gentleman that's doing the design for the USA Parkway extension in Carson City at their headquarters here a couple weeks ago. While they're gearing up, we did agree that we would assist them specifically with snow removal along that route for the next couple of months as they hire staffing and look to either purchase and or lease additional equipment that's needed. They will be responsible for all the brining, pre-treatment of that route prior to storms, and in return, our sand and salt usage in the industrial park will be free of charge from MDOT for this, at least this coming season. So I think we'll work together and we'll make that transition happen as smooth as we can. The 5 mile divide reservoir rehab projects, as you know, have been underway for about the last 5 weeks. 5 mile is the first one, of course, because of the location and with weather coming in. We hope to get that substantially complete within the next couple of weeks if weather holds. They're currently ready to install the liner and had some issues yesterday with a couple of pieces of equipment, so hopefully getting that resolved today. So it's looking good out there. They've mobilized the fencing contractor up to the divide and have replaced all of the fencing posts in anticipation of putting up the new fence here as soon as the concrete dries around the post. The sewer treatment plant project, all the major components that needed to be manufactured off-site have arrived on the site, are being assembled. The new control building is going up currently. We will be meeting with USDA representatives here on Thursday to discuss a couple issues. One was a small amount that they denied on a change order dealing with the contaminated soils, and the other will be to discuss what to do with the remaining contingency that amounts to almost $400,000, and we're hoping that they'll allow us to now begin to replace some of the sewer lines, at least from the plant up to and including the locations along R Street and possibly even running the Washington Street main all the way up to L Street. So we'll be discussing that with them, like I say, on Thursday. The 6 mile canyon drainage project, which was a FEMA pre-mitigation grant match, 75-25, is progressing. Far West Engineering has completed the aerial overviews and the on-site survey and are now in design. We have a meeting with them on Thursday to do a little field review to discuss a couple of culverts that were discovered and to see how we want to address replacing those. The courthouse roof project here on the north side has been underway for a couple of months now. The contractor is doing things right. He's discovered a few challenges, especially along the north side. One in particular was a chimney that used to run up the north side from the clerk's office there and has been a bone of contention. We discovered that when they re-roofed the courthouse, they didn't cap that chimney off, so probably, Vanessa, that's where a lot of the moisture has been penetrating down through that north wall. So hopefully we've got that resolved. That side is all weathered in, so he's done quite a bit of repair on the flashing fascia, which is old tin, and he's done the soldering process, and it turned out very nice. So we're pleased with the work that he's been able to provide. The courthouse expansion to the south side is in swing. I'll be a little bit slow, but Thursday We'll have a contractor out there doing some boring for the soils sampling and the analysis, so we'll be closing off the portion of the gravel area while the work is in progress. So that's scheduled for Thursday. That's about all I've got for you at this time.
On the interchange at Lockwood, on the acceleration lane on going westbound, was there any talk about lengthening that? Because the residents out there complaining that they don't have enough time to enter Interstate 80 going west because the acceleration lane is such a short run.
Yeah. We can, you know, I'll discuss that with with Steve Williams and see if they can include that, you know, if there's any possibility of getting that done at the same time.
Okay. Thanks.
I think we discussed a little this morning. It's been interesting, but NDOT seems to be a lot more responsive and sensitive to our Story County issues, transportation issues, and I think probably reverting back to the Tesla and the interest is coming and kind of them putting their money into Story County and the extension of the USA Parkway. I think that's a $70 million freeway build out, and of course they're taking responsibility for all the maintenance. And but as consequently, I believe they're looking more seriously at a lot of our traffic needs, and I think that this interchange is one that they will entertain in redesigning some. Mm-hmm.
Everything, Bill?
No, sure.
Okay.
Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Mike. Okay. Next up from the Comptroller's Office, Mr. Gallagher.
Jeff, on your list. This commission belongs.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Hugh Gallagher, Story County Comptroller. During the last couple of weeks, while there was a Nevada Association of County get-together in Ely, Nevada, there was also a board directors meeting for our insurance group, Pool PACT. PACT is a public agency compensation trust, which affects all of our workman's comp. And the big item on the agenda, of course, there was Hartlaw. As you may or may not know, all of our public safety employees, which are police, fire, after they have had a continuous service of 5 years, are eligible for Hartlaw expenditures, even though they may be out of the service for 15, 20, 25 years. They are seeing an increase of that through that. So technically, if you had a person who had was a fireman, was here for 5 years, left, continued on a path of smoking and drinking for the next 40 years, if he had a heart attack and lung disease of some sort, the agency would have to pay for that. It's gotten stronger as each legislative session has gone forward. So it's something that the agency is quite concerned about, and it's really something that they're having to put additional funds in order to try and figure out what the payments are going to be in the future, because our firemen are leaving at, you know, at 20 years of age, but they may be 18 years of when they started. They've got a long life and accountability for that. So that was of a big, quite a discussion on that. The other side was our pool, which is they provide all of our insurance for our equipment and our buildings. Their big issue and their big question marks and their fears now are the older buildings within their group, which includes this courthouse. They have had several instances in Lyon County and Elko County where buildings have, they have had incidents where things have been either structure damage or whatever, or accidents caused by the infrastructure within the building. They bring that back up to wherever it's going to be, but obviously the county is going to end up paying for it additionally because of the increased premiums that will happen for that particular county for a length of time. You may remember the last flood that we had, and that was a big bill that we had to continue to pay on that for several years. I know that Sherry is trying to get some funding for at least this building to shore this building up in the next year or so. We've also done what we can for the roof, and that was an excellent expenditure on our part, because if anything happens to that, they'll come in and fix it, but again, it is our responsibility onward to pay that money back. The other one within our realm that's not within Story County, but I will address the school board, is Piper's Opera House. There needs to be some things done with Piper's. I'm not sure what the school district plans for that. But Poole's even thinking about doing something as to either low cost or low interest or no interest loans for some retrofitting, reconstruction of all of our buildings within most of the counties that they have insured with, to make sure that these buildings stand for a considerable period of time. The additional areas that they are looking at within our group, which is pretty much every single county with the exception of Clark and Washoe, is to provide information technology services. We are all, for most of us, all of us are on a same platform as far as our accountability platforms are concerned. And the other thing that they were thinking about looking at was health insurance. As you know, not being a provider, maybe a self-insurer, I'm not sure, but at least being able to say that, you know, within our county we have maybe 100 or 105 people. You expand that by maybe 30-fold or whatever, you may get a little better rate at some point in time. I went from Ely, Nevada to Elko, or to from Eureka to Ely, and the one particular thing that I brought back from that, along with a lot of other things, was it was the last discussion of the day, and it happened to be upon economic development. And they had a couple of speakers from, one from Elko, understanding what they're doing with their freight lines and their depots there, to Ely, what they're doing with all of their stuff. One of ours was asked to come up, which was Dean Haymore. He gave a presentation that was absolutely mind-boggling as far as the business license process and the permit process. There was a lot of oohs and ahs from all of the county participants going, how do you do this so quickly and efficiently, that they were going to take back. So we've got a nugget in that that gentleman for sure. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gallagher. Next up, Sheriff Antonora.
Just two things. First, been meeting with the Governor's Office, Department of Agriculture, and Wild Horse Advocacy Groups, looking at doing an agreement between the advocacy groups and the Department of Agriculture for the management of the wild horses on the Virginia Range. That is moving forward. Looks like they're just about finalized in their agreement. Matter of fact, I believe they're presenting it or hoping to present something to the Agriculture Board tomorrow at their meeting in Sparks. This will allow for localized management of the horses, which will include birth control, diversionary measures, helping to keep them out of the populated areas, thereby improving public safety and human-horse interaction. So I guess the purpose of bringing it out, one, to let you know, two, if you have anybody or know anybody or are connected in any way with the Board of Agriculture Department, put in a good word for it. This is going to be a good agreement. We just need to get some feet underneath it. Second thing, just as a reminder, last year about this time, we started having problems with trapping. Trapping season is upon us. Goes through February 28th. Just a reminder to people that trappers are out there. So if you're going to be out walking in the backcountry with your dogs or cats or whatever, be aware of it. And harassing or messing with somebody's trap is a crime. Trappers have responsibilities as far as checking the traps in a certain amount of time and being certain distances away from roads and everything. State came in last year, did a presentation for us. We can't do anything to stop hunting or trapping within the county. It's all regulated by the state, but there's rules on both sides. And if they're trapping on private property, they still have to have the property owner's permission. So any issues from either side, trappers or property owners, concerned residents, either give my office a call or give Department of Wildlife a call, and hopefully we can keep the two sides from clashing this year. Thank you.
Thank you, Sheriff. DA Maddox.
I want to introduce to the soon-to-be new deputy district attorney, Keith Williams, so maybe you can stand up to tell everybody a little bit about your experience.
If we could get you to come to the podium, that'll be the best thing. And of course, identify yourself for the record so the clerk will know who's talking. Thank you.
My name's Keith Loomis. I started out at the Nevada Supreme Court many years ago. I worked for the Nevada legislature for a session, drafting bills, and then actually took over a vacancy that was created in the Carson City District Attorney's Office when Bill went down to be the U.S. Attorney. And I was there for about 5 years and was Chief of the Criminal Division. And then I went out to, I ran for election in Lyon County, was District Attorney in Lyon County for about 4 years doing major criminal cases and getting into the civil areas. And then I went into private practice on my own for a long time, and I worked for a lot for the pool that's been mentioned by Mr. Gallagher, doing litigation work on behalf of a wide variety of government entities, including school districts and counties. I represented Story County in a couple of suits when George Williams III was here. I have acted as general counsel for the Stagecoach General Improvement District, for the Central Lyon County Fire Protection District. I've done some work for the Mineral County School District. I have a wide variety of experience in dealing with municipal issues. And then I saw Ann down at the Raley's Supermarket not too long ago, and she asked me if I would be interested in coming up to Story County and doing helping her out up here, which I am interested in doing that. And so this is my intention. I'll be starting here about January 5th.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Loomis.
Boy, are we going to get a lot of work out of you.
DA-elect Langer.
I guess you know when you go to Raley's and you haven't run into somebody that you've seen in a long time in the coffee section and they live in my neighborhood, that they have to be the deputy district attorney in Story County. And it's exactly right. I ran into Keith, and I knew with all the changes that are taking place in Story County that it was important that we had a civil deputy that could really help with all the different departments and all the different issues in Story County. So with that, Keith has agreed to come aboard. Bob, who everybody knows was the chief civil deputy in Douglas County, will still be working out part-time on the ordinances that we need to get up to date so As it was pointed out to me this morning, some of the ordinances have not been changed since 1952. I thought it was 1985, but I was wrong on that. So we all know that we have some big shoes to fill. I think that Bill, my boss, has really led Story on a way to bringing things up to date, and I know that the three of us are going to have a large road to hoe in his absence. So I guess there was only one of him. Now it takes a few more of us to fill his spot. So just wanted to give you an update on that. And as Keith indicated, he will be starting January 5th.
Great. Thank you, Ms. Langer. Special counsel, Mr. Morse.
Nothing today.
Thank you. County clerk, Ms. Stevens? Nothing today. County manager, Mr. Whitman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Loomis undersells some of his representation of us. He was also co-counsel on a little matter of Clearta Vista versus Story County. And I tell you, that was a stellar team that got us through a very, very touchy and difficult process. So I welcome you aboard. Next is, with your approval of the consent agenda earlier in this meeting, that does cancel our normally scheduled December 16th meeting. Please keep in mind that there may, although I doubt it at this point, based on discussions, there may still need to be a special meeting to handle singular items. And again, I don't anticipate that. Next week's going to be busy as always for a lot of us. I received an email yesterday from Sarah Adler. Sarah is the State Director of the U.S. Department of Agriculture Rural Development, and has been the lead in getting this money for the sewer plant, for the fire trucks, ambulances, everything. She's just been great. Her boss, she's a Deputy Undersecretary of Agriculture, is coming out next Wednesday and has asked for a tour of the Fulcrum site. A few months back, you also approved a resolution encouraging the cities of Reno and Sparks to cooperate with Story County and others and find a way to transport treated effluent from their Sparks plant to the tribe development. Those talks are going along exceptionally well. There will be a meeting next week at exactly that same time, as a matter of fact. And it's wonderful, I think, as Lance alluded to see the spirit of cooperation between entities that don't necessarily not get along, but we just have never been looked at, I think, in the same light. So maybe it helps that we're asking for sewer water. I'm not sure. This coming Thursday, you will see some drilling going on over next door in the south lot. I would joke with Mike to say even the county can't afford your water prices, so we're going to drill a well. But in truth, we're doing soils work to determine once and for all what the cost might be for converting that fully into a parking lot. You have two folks that aren't here that normally are in the room or make an effort to come whenever they can. We actually have a team of three in Japan right now. They flew out Sunday. They'll fly back on Thursday. They were taken there at the request of both Tesla and Panasonic to view some of Panasonic's operating plants back there, so they better understand the processes and the designs. And that is Chief Haynes, Community Development Director Dean Haymore, and Fire and Life Safety Officer Fritz Klingler. Real briefly, and I understand why he wouldn't stay if he didn't have to, but, you know, I was hoping that I could say my thanks publicly to Angelo. When I moved here in 1994 and bought the RV park, Angelo was the first businessman that came down and welcomed me to the community. You know, I had a stack of his coupons that he wanted me to pass out to every incoming RV, but that's the kind of guy he was, and he was always there to help me throughout, and I can't tell you even how long he has been on that VCTC, VCCTA. He's been on there since I got here in 94 and before that, so great man, great choice. Lastly, I want to invite everybody to our annual Commissioner's Christmas party. It will be held on December 12th. Social hour starts at 5 p.m. and dinner at 6, and it is open to all, and please feel free to share that invitation with anybody that you choose. And that's it.
At Piper's Opera House.
At Piper's Opera House, thank you.
Just for clarification, our next meeting is scheduled for Monday, January the 5th, and that will be at 2 p.m. We know that for sure because we're going to, we need a district judge.
Yeah.
Right, that's the time Judge Russell's scheduled to be here.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. All right. Did I miss any staff? Very good. Okay, we're going to move on now to a board comment. Commissioner Shevagin?
A couple of things that keep coming up. We discussed it quite a bit over in Ely. Number one is water issues, and number two is land issues. I think those are probably the two broad spectrum things that we really need to pay attention to, not only here but statewide. These are things that will impact everything, or all of us here. Under water issues, everything from water rights, vested water rights, wells going dry, things like that. Also, EPA under Waters of the U.S. That's a new one coming out, another one of EPA's attempts to save us from ourselves and on water drainage and things like that. It could have some negative impacts on us, so we're watching that. Land issues, I keep up with the American Land Council. Things are going on, particularly in the 11 western states. Tilt funding again this year is in peril. That's always something that needs to come up every year. If we don't get that, of course, tilt is paid as what the county's getting instead of property tax from the U.S. government. And the problem is when you do get it, it's less than what it should be if it was taxed at the rate of property tax. So it isn't much to begin with. A lot of the counties don't get that money. That's a big crunch in their budget. Not so much for us, but when a county in the state is injured financially, it's going to impact us eventually too. It's all one big thing, and it has an impact on our fair share of taxes and things like that. Let's see. Back and forth on the email with Dean Heller's folks in Washington. They're pretty confident we're going to see some action on the land bill in the next 2 weeks, either this week or next week. So that would be Restore Story, the Lyon County Wilderness Bill, Pumpkin Hollow, and then a couple of other items on there. Can't remember what those other ones are, but they think that's looks pretty good. Talked to Commissioner Tom Collins down in Las Vegas. He was in contact with Reed's office when we were in Ely. Got the same story out of Reed's office, too, that Reed can try to get it up on the floor. So keep your fingers crossed, I guess. That's all I have.
Great. Thank you. Commissioner Gilman.
Nothing new.
Okay. Following up on Commissioner Shevagin's topic of NACO and Ely, it was well attended by Story County's elected officials. And department heads and staff.
I think 14?
It was a very good conference, and going to small communities in Nevada is always great. We had good speakers out there. We had Gerald Ford's son, Steve, speak, and it was very entertaining to see what it's like in the political world of Washington. A lot of the issues that Bill spoke about were water and grazing rights. PERS is brought up, as it always is. There's every small county has the same issues that Story County has.
and some of the counties in Nevada are in dire straits. They really are. Some of their people weren't even able to attend because they're so poor. There's no money in the coffers to help them. And some of the county representatives that did show up, they paid for everything out of their own pocket, travel and registration expenses, because their counties are deeply, you know, poor. Along those lines, it's a good conference. It's a continuing education for those who aren't familiar with it. There's a CPO, which is Extended Studies at the University of Nevada, so those who attend classes get credit, and at some point, if you accrue enough credits, you'll get your diploma. But anyway, I enjoy going. This is my third NACO in Nevada, and I've done a few of them in Washington as well. But anyway, it's a great experience. It's good for networking amongst other county officials statewide. They have a legislative panel that you get to talk to. We have legislators, so state senators and assemblymen that also attend us. So very well attended, and it was very entertaining. Along the lines of Restore Story Act and my conversation with Congressman Amade, he had this bill passed on the floor of the House of Representatives and sent to the Senate to Harry Reid's office in the format that Senator Reid asked for it to be put in. So he is the guy to take it to the floor, because he is the Senate Majority Leader. So it's in his court. There's no reason why he shouldn't take it to the floor. He's the one who asked for it in this format. He backs all five of the claims that are in there. So we all look forward to that coming to be, and that'll eliminate several of Story County's problems with the BLM. Okay, that's all I have. Then we have Commissioner-elect McGuffey. Do you have anything today, Jack? Right, you can.
Commissioner-elect Jack McGuffey. I was one of those that attended the NACO conference. It was very interesting. I'm glad I didn't pass that up. There were some great workshops for new commissioners on covering ethics and open meeting law. I've learned a lot in just a couple days that I was there. I'd like to thank Mr. Whitten for introducing me to our other county counterparts, the people with EDON, the governor's office. You know, I met a lot of people that I'll be working with in the future. And I really look forward to representing Story County as your new commissioner. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jack. Okay, with that said, let's take about a 10-minute recess.